There are two accounts of creation in the book of Genesis. Yesterday and on Monday, we read the first account, and today we begin to read the second account. And one of the things that might strike you about the second account is it seems to suggest that there was nothing in the world before Adam was created. And in Genesis 1, we hear about the whole of the created order. I'll come back to it in a minute, but let me just say this one point for now. The reason is that in Genesis chapter 2, the focus is solely on the human creature and what it means to, in this particular way, be gifted with human life. And there are three things that our text from today tell us about what it is to be human. Genesis chapter 2 speaks about our human vocation. It speaks about the human permission that God gives to us and the human prohibition. Vocation, permission, prohibition. This is what we hear about our vocation. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and to keep it. And listen to the permission granted us. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may freely eat of every tree that is in the garden." And then the human prohibition, that you must not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for on the day that you eat of it, you shall die. So let's just take a few minutes to look at the vocation, the permission, and the prohibition, and how this speaks to us today. Earlier in that reading that Joel did for us, at verse 7, Genesis says the following about our vocation. "Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." According to Catholic theology, human beings, Adam, is not only a natural biological being, but he is also infused with supernatural life. The biological dimension of who we are is tied to being of the dust, being of the ground. The supernatural dimension is that the breath of life is breathed into us and we become a living being. So this is the first part of this understanding of our vocation as being human. We are unique amongst God's creatures because we are natural, but we are also supernatural. And this is underscored even more in the text that we heard this morning when we're told that Adam was to till and to keep the ground. Now, if you flip over to the book of Leviticus, these two verbs, to till and to keep, are used in relation to the priest's work in the temple. And so in the Garden of Eden, Adam is to be understood as the first priest. Now let's go back to Genesis chapter 1 for a minute. And what do we see in Genesis chapter 1? We see a procession. We see all of the created order coming into being. And who's at the end of the procession? The man and the woman. If the bishop were here for a liturgy, like, say, a confirmation, he would be at the back of the procession. On a regular Sunday, it's the priest who is the celebrant. Not because he's the most important, but because he is to bring the community together in the right praise of God. And that's what the man and the woman in Genesis chapter 1 are called to do. Their vocation is to bring together all of creation so that God is rightly praised. Supposedly in the temple in Jerusalem, there were represented all sorts of different animals throughout the temple's art. Again, hearkening back to these themes of Genesis, how it is in understanding our vocation as rightly praising God that we understand the meaning of our lives. What about the human permission You may eat freely out of the ground, of all that grows, of every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Isn't that beautiful language? Pleasant to the sight and good for food. In the 8th century, there was a theologian by the name of John of Damascus. And what he's most known for is ensuring that within the life of the church, we could use icons and other forms of sacred art in order to represent our faith. And he was countering what are called the iconoclasts, those people who said there shouldn't be any religious images, there shouldn't be anything that is representative of beauty because it's a form of idolatry. Thanks be to God that John of Damascus ruled the day. There's this quote that I want to share with you that ties in with his love for beauty and the importance of art in worship, when he says the following. I think when Genesis says, of every tree of paradise you shall eat, by it it means that all created things are to be drawn up to God, their creator, and from them reap the one fruit which is to come to God. So that all created things are to be drawn up to the Creator. That, I think, is a beautiful understanding of what it means to speak of the tree of life. That the world in which we live, where God has given us such wonderful permission to use the created world, is to bring us into that place of deep gratitude. Now, the interesting thing is, often the vocation and the permission are overlooked, and people jump right away to the prohibition that you shall not eat of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. What this, I think, is teaching is the following. We are not to define our lives apart from God. We are not to take God's place. For you see, our lives can be only ordered rightly when we understand our vocation and God's generous permission. When we neglect these, when we try to give meaning to our lives apart from God, we experience spiritual death because our lives become confused, distorted, and under the realm of sin. And so what happens when human sin dominates our lives? While we use the created universe in ways that separate us from God, like the way Jesus taught in today's gospel. Think about it this way. Fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice. These are all ways in which we distort the created order and we misuse the good things that God has given to us. What about wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, and folly? Well, these are all interior attitudes that separate the soul from God, and we have a confused sense as to what our vocation in the world is. Genesis is remarkable because it teaches us that when we understand our vocation, when we understand God's generous permission, we can live purposefully from the heart and set God first in our lives so that our thoughts and our actions, as St. John of Damascus so clearly understood, are to lead us to share in the life of God.